have seen me roam with wireless mic, but today that's an impossibility. So you get the pleasure of actually seeing Brad White sit in one place for a time. Again, my name is Brad White. I'm the Director of Global Media Affairs for ICANN, which is a very long way of saying I'm the point of contact for journalists. So if you're a journalist somewhere on the planet and you're writing about ICANN or internet governance in general, I'm generally the first place that they stop to try and get to the information that they want or the right person that they want. We first tried this session in Toronto, What the Journalists Think, because we thought it would be really interesting to hear from the people who cover us and are paid to cover us with a critical eye. Journalists are not necessarily out there to be our friends, although most people who work PR and communications want to think that. They're actually paid to hold our feet to the fire, keep us honest, be critical. I was a journalist for more than a quarter of a century, so I have a great admiration for what these people do. I like reporters. I like interacting with reporters. And we got such good response in Toronto when we tried this for the first time that we thought we wanted to do it again at each of the future sessions, but angle it around the region, the global region that we're in. So we're going to pursue that today in that regard with three very prominent African journalists who have covered internet governance generally and ICANN specifically. Allow me to introduce the people whom you cannot see the faces of. For remote participants, we're in a typical sort of board meeting room, and they have the audience off to one side, so we're a little strained here in terms of view angles. Rebecca Wanjiku, in the yellow sweater, is one of the most prolific reporters covering ICANN. She's a tech journalist, entrepreneur. She has covered Africa's tech stories for the last 10 years. The stories have covered diverse topics in the ICT arena, from WSIS to DNSSEC implementation. She's currently with IDG, which is a news service. She's the Sub-Saharan Africa correspondent. I'm going to, after I get through with these introductions, I'll have each of these folks give us a few words about their news organizations, since not all of you may be familiar with them. Jumping over to the other extreme in the blue shirt is Remy Nweke. Did I massacre the last name, Remy, or was I somewhat close?
Of course you did.
I should say that I interact a great deal with both Remy and Rebecca. They've covered us for quite some time. Remy is a renowned author in the ICT arena, internationally acclaimed multiple award-winning new media journalist. He's been the senior reporter. He's currently with Digital Sense Africa Media Group. He's previously been a senior reporter with Champion Newspapers, one of Nigeria's leading dailies over 14 years. He's received a total of 15 awards in the last decade for his reporting on ICT issues, business, and economy. And in between Rebecca and Remy is Brenda Zulu. Brenda and I have never met before today, but welcome. We're glad you could participate in the panel. Brenda is a correspondent from Lusaka, Zambia. She's written for IDG News Service, Rebecca's news organization, and Highway Africa news agencies. Those of you who are unfamiliar with Highway Africa, it's a very cool program, which I've had the privilege of speaking at, with Rhodes University in Grahamstown, South Africa. It's a very prominent journalism school. It's the largest, they do a meeting each year, which is the largest gathering of journalists on the African continent. And it's quite humbling to go to a Highway Africa meeting and see where the young African journalists are at in terms of their reporting and journalism. It's quite humbling saying that as a former American journalist. Brenda has covered the ICT IT technology sector as a journalist blogger for many years, both national and international level. So that said, Remy, let's start with you. If you could just give us very short, brief capsules of your respective news organizations, that would be greatly appreciated. And Remy, can we start with you?
All right. Thanks, Brad. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you and your team at ICANN. Once again, my name is Remy Nweke. Currently, I'm the editor of Digital Sense Business News, based in Lagos, Nigeria. Just like you said, I've practiced for over 15 years, and Currently also, within the digital sense frame, we also introduce some media outreach program to engage public as well within the issues concerning internet governance and IPv6 within the Nigerian space as well. So it's glad to be here. Thank you.
Okay, Africa Interactive Media is a media organization. We report in French and English. We actually cover events using new media tools. So we actually cover science and technology.
IDG News Service is an American newswire that mainly covers technology news, and most of the articles that I write and that my other colleagues globally write appear in computerworld.com, cio.com, CFO, and among other websites, like there are like 20 of them, all based on various aspects of technology.
Great, thank you very much. The first thing I'd like to throw up is, what is the greatest challenge that you guys have in covering internet governance generally, and ICANN specifically? Is it understanding what is largely a technical field? Is it getting editors interested in your stories? What's the greatest challenge you face?
Yeah, I remember when I started covering internet governance stories, my editor did not want the stories on internet governance. He used to tell me, Brenda, give me my stories which are political stories. Because in Africa, politics actually override many, many stories. So it was quite difficult. He didn't want to publish me until one time I think we didn't have any content, so he published me, and then the stories won an award. Then he got a little bit interested, but he still needed his political stories. Yeah.
Well, I think I probably have covered most of I can compare to my colleagues here.
When did you first start covering ICANN, Becky?
In 2004, I think the meeting in Cape Town. And I think I was with Brenda, and I've covered most of them subsequently. And one of the most challenging parts that I've found with ICANN is that the people around ICANN are a bit stuck up. You'll find that they behave more like a club or a secret society. So whenever you want to get any form of news, it's not easy to get it if they don't know you. And I know Kieran McCarthy and Kevin Murphy, my other colleagues who I always find myself with ICANN meetings. And I think they find it easier covering more of the ICANN stuff because I don't want to say they are white, but mainly because they are from the West. So it's probably easier for the people around ICANN to confide in them and give them more tips on the stories that are coming up and all that kind of stuff. So you find that within ICANN itself, there's a whole club of, first of all, they talk in a language that if you're new, it's hard for you to get. So people will tell you, oh, you know, we are the ATLT meeting and da da da, and we are discussing who is this. And if you don't know, if you're a new journalist, then I remember when you covered it first in 2004, they may have come to Africa, but if you ask me, they never left. I mean, ICANN, in terms of the impact to the local media, it wasn't exactly felt, because it's like people came with a whole lot of club and talked their own stuff and then left, and without necessarily the patience to sort of get out of their way. So for me, I find it, now I don't find it so hard because I've learned to navigate my way around. And but still, I still get some people who give hints to Grant Gross. Grant Gross is the guy who reports on from right. Washington, D.C. So people are attending an ICANN meeting, but they send a tip to Grant Gross, and then Grant will then come back to me and say, oh, there's this guy who is at an ICANN meeting, and he has this tip, and there's this thing you can follow and all that. So to me, those are some of the challenges personally I found covering ICANN.
And Remy, we'll get to you in just one sec, but when I arranged the interview with you, with our CEO, was that Foddy or was that Beckstrom? I don't remember. And I don't remember what the issue was. Do you remember?
Sorry, say that
When I arranged for you to do a one-on-one interview by telephone, was that with Beckstrom or was that with Fadi? I can't remember which CEO it was.
That was with Beckstrom.
Was it?
Yes.
Had that, just out of curiosity, had that happened previous to you where ICANN had reached out to you and said, do you want to do a one-on-one interview with somebody? What I'm trying to get a sense of is, are things just as bad as they always were in terms of your ability to reach the people that count? Is there an improvement? Where's it at?
Actually, that was the first time, and I must say in the last 3 or 4 years that the ICANN's engagement between you guys out in the West and African journalists, this case being myself, has improved. Either because you guys have, in the communication department, you've gone out of your way to reach out to journalists in my area or generally journalists, or you've realized that Africa is a continent that you can't just continue ignoring.
Okay, when I actually started covering ICANN was at the early stage of the dot-com boom, and we have been told what will the world will become when eventually we enter into 2000. And some of us become curious. We started following up on what is going to happen afterwards. So along the line, and I now discovered ICANN because in the process of trying to find out more information, and given that the internet is not too an elaborate thing then, some of us started digging more, and that interest was sustained because every other time technology issues come up in a different way. So, and by the time we eventually got to, and it was Highway, we met Kerian, there was some Enlightenment program that was also introduced that also opened another pathway for a relationship.
This was Kieran Baker, right?
Yes.
Kieran Baker was my predecessor. He was used to be the point person for journalists some years back.
Yeah. So that also opened another pathway. So the interest grew over time. But in coming down to an earlier question you asked my colleagues about the acceptance of technology-based stories or internet-based stories in the media houses. Yeah, it's true that very often you discover that most editors wouldn't like to go with internet or technology stories per se, but some of us haven't proven that there is responsibility of news materials in some of these contents. Because what we do very often is to narrow it down, try to play around it with human angle stories, to make it acceptable both to the readers and to our editors then. So some of them became interested, especially when we started to got awards, you know. So they, even at their own end, become curious. This thing you are writing and you are not getting awards because of that. So over time, most media organizations in Nigeria, and I believe that also spread also across Africa, started to create a specialized bit for people. And that's why you can see some of us being a pioneer in a particular bit for a long time, upwards to 15 or thereabout years. So you discover that over the years also, because we were allowed to specialize on certain subjects like technology, it helped in broadening the knowledge and the reportage aspect of coverage we can devote to a given subject like internet governance and things like that, or developmental progress within the ICANN community. So ever since then, it has been like that, we continue to grow in interest in what happens to ICANN and even in Africa as well. Because if you look backward a little, you will discover that even in developmental process, in terms of investment within the internet industry itself, Africa seems to be lacking. Okay, so and we decided on our own that we need to also contribute to this industry in order to make it more attractive for investors both within Africa and foreign investors as well. So as much as we keep writing about it, and our people understand what we are writing about, by making or bringing down the semantics of technology down to the understanding of common readers, it makes the job or reporting of technology very interesting. As of date, many young journalists would like to report technology, but they don't have a kind of support to pull them through. So what very often they do is to go to maybe my site or my blog and get a background information of what they want to write about, or even try to call you up on phone and say, please, I'm working on this story, what information can you offer me? You know, so it is good that this is coming. I'm happy that this aspect of ICANN is evolving, to the extent that journalists are also given opportunity to share their ideas and challenges when it comes to covering of ICANN. But at the same time, it is important that we probably escalate the innovation to include creating a specific fellowship to accommodate journalists from developing countries, especially Africa. Because I believe as much as we are bringing new faces, new people into the mainstream, if you have up to 10 journalists coming from various African countries that are not the host countries, it will help. Because as we are seated here, they will need to interact with some of us who have been on the saddle for a long time. All right? Myself, for instance, I have grown beyond mere news reporting to creating a medium of my own called Digital Sense Africa. We are almost everywhere. We are online as well as hard copy. And as I speak to you, I'm on the board of NIRA. NIRA is Nigeria Internet Registration Association, okay, that actually regulates somehow the domain names in Nigeria. It's like a junior sister to ICANN in Nigeria. So for me to have grown to that level shows that we are making progress in terms of industry recognizing that, look, media professionals have something to contribute to this industry. Thank you.
Great. By the way, let me just mention again, because we have such a funky room setting here, if anybody wants to ask a question, move up to one of these chairs with a microphone here. We're going to leave this as loose as we possibly can, so please, if you've got a question, just come up. We'll see you and take your question, introduce yourself and who you're representing, if anyone. Rebecca, you said something that I think that I've heard repeatedly from journalists, I don't care where they're from. And that is, and I think you used the word arrogance, if you didn't, I will, of the technical types in speaking plain speak. There is such a concern when I link some of our technical people with a journalist to talk to a journalist. The criticism that comes back at me constantly is I didn't understand what the hell they were talking about, because we insist on using acronyms. I think the analogy I always use is you can speak a little bit of French, so you go to Paris and you order, but you want to be accurate, so you speak English and you were dead on accurate. The only problem is no one understood what you were saying. I think that we and ICANN have a lot to learn about communicating to people who don't live in our community. Brenda, let me ask you this. When you and I had lunch the other day, we were talking about this session, we were prepping for it, you kind of told an interesting, at least I thought it was an interesting story, about what you have to go through when you pitch your editors on a story. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think for me, coming from Africa and writing about technology, is that first my editor sits in New York. So whatever I consider to be a story is not necessarily a story to my editor. So, for instance, I'll be talking to Mohammed about the issue with registrars and the fact that we are trying to get more DNS business in Africa growing. And when I pitch that story and I say, no, it's interesting that ICANN is trying to grow this business in Africa, and this guy doesn't understand. Why don't you guys just grow it yourselves? Because for them, they woke up one day and everything was working. The internet was fast, the internet was quick, the DNS business was thriving, and it was so they don't understand all this concerted business. So I have to first educate this guy or the lady and say, by the way, here in Africa, these are some of the challenges we face, and as a result of that, that is why this and that makes news. It could be something about internet exchange points. This guy, for the first time I wrote a story about Africa IXPs, and my editor just didn't get it. So what is an IXP? So I first have to like explain what is an IXP and why it's
you've got to educate your editor.
Yes, and why it makes news. So that also challenges the second part of the question, the one you ask about ICANN and people talking in their own lingo and coming up with their own language, is that if you've been an internet engineer for so long, you probably think that for me to be able to report properly and accurately about your topic, I must also be an engineer, or at least I must understand. And at times that's not always the case. Somebody will walk in here and will want to write a story about what you're doing, but then they are not necessarily experts. They've not sat in registrar meetings or CCNSO meetings like a whole day to appreciate what you're getting. So at times going out of your way to explain or to be simpler in your language. Yes, I understand that as journalists, we also need to do our research to make sure that when I come to interview you, I have some basic knowledge. And within ICANN, I've realized that the types that are better to interview for me are maybe people who are professors at the university. Like the first time I interviewed Bill Manning some times back, I think it was in 2009.
Now, you're talking about people who are members of the community, but
yes,
professors,
but
or you're talking...
Oh,
I see. Okay.
Who are already teachers in their own sense. If you interview somebody, I can almost tell who is in their day job, they are professors at a university or they teach at a university, because the way that interview is conducted is different from probably a business type. Somebody who thinks if you take 10 minutes, you're already wasting their time. They will not sit down to... They don't appreciate that it's a story that will benefit them in as much as it benefits you or the community itself. So like that interview with Bill, it was very complicated, and first you need to understand about the root server and everything else, then you have to do the EDNS0 and all that. So I had a level of understanding, but still it was complicated for me. But the way he broke it down and the time he took can tell you the person whose interest is to share information and knowledge, and somebody who is just thinking, the hell, I have to go to another meeting. Can't you just read, or do I have to do this interview and stuff? And that's maybe it's because the people who come here are serious. They do business, and they do big money business. So when you waste their 15 minutes, maybe it means lots of stuff and lots of money for them. And for me, who is probably from an African country and I've never understood, I don't appreciate some of these things that I can, I'll probably, if you blow me off, I'll probably cow back and say, hey, let me go and look for my African types, and probably they will appreciate these things better. So which sort of encourages that barrier? I'm not sure I'm answering your question.
You are answering my question well. And Michelle, I saw you had a question, but let me just ask Brenda one thing. When you cover different tech sectors, I assume that there's the problem we're talking about, understandability, trade terms, acronyms, that sort of thing. I'm curious how the internet sector varies from the other tech sectors that you might cover. Is it worse, better?
I think what has helped all of us here is that before we started reporting on ICTs, we were taken to class. So we were at Rhodes University, all of us, and each year we had an opportunity to even meet people from ICANN and from different technology sectors. So we took this as an interest. We became interested in the subjects. We were being prepared to report on the World Summit on Information Society as a team from Africa, because at that time there was no one who was reporting on technology issues. So it has been a learning process for all of us. Since 2003-04, we were in WISIS in Switzerland and Tunisia. So for journalists who want to start reporting on tech issues, they should have an interest. I think they need to have an interest, yeah. And then they should read a lot about the subject and then develop interest. because what we're doing now is actually innovating from whatever we learned. We are no longer the same journalists. We are no longer ordinary journalists. We are innovators. We have innovated from whatever little bit we picked from here and there. Yeah.
And you're also a specialized journalist. I mean, I can say from personal experience that for me and my job, it's somewhat nice to talk with Trade Reporter. It's nice to talk with Rebecca. A, she knows the cast of characters. She knows the subject. If I call up Remy, I know that he's got a certain foundation. Painful for me is a daily news reporter, and they're generally from much bigger outlets, from the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. Now, we'll be noticed much more broadly, but I can spend 2 hours on the phone just bringing them up to speed on an issue that these guys inherently have. So if anyone appreciates what you're saying, I do. Michelle.
Rebecca, it was very interesting hearing what you said when you first came to ICANN, that there was a high barrier for you to get in, and you thought that the people were, the words you used were stuck up, and you thought that that was because you were from Africa. When I first came to ICANN, I've worked in the press for over 20 years. My pictures have been published in newspapers, magazines worldwide, with a mixture of acronyms, and the complexity of it. I also had a very high barrier of entry, and it was really difficult. On the first day I got here, I wanted to do a portrait of the CEO, and it was like the last day, the last 5 minutes, when I actually going through numerous amounts of people to actually get to that hurdle as a graphic reporter to actually just get one portrait. And I think, rightly or wrongly, ICANN is an organization where you almost have to prove yourself first. And I mean, you have really proved yourself, but I think that we should be bringing in more and more new journalists. You know, the more people, the better. The more we can spread the news about ICANN. And what better way to do it with journalism? And I thank you for your comments, Rebecca. Thank you.
Okay, let me just add to what she said. Due to the program we had, or we have been having, on internet governance in Nigeria, actually with support of ICANN, even though we look forward to more better support, younger journalists have developed interest in writing about internet governance, which boils down to ICANN strategies and things like that. And often they have confessed that the first time they are hearing about ICANN was from that forum, or Nigeria Digital Science Forum on Internet Governance for Development. So it behoves on those of us who are up there to realize that there are people who are following us who needs to be brushed. And we should do that with every humility. And also, I appreciate the efforts your team has made so far, because the last time I spoke to you about engaging communities within the communication sector in ICANN, in the DNS industry, we spoke about it, and I didn't know that you are going to take it as far as this. So I really appreciate this, especially now that it has come, and I believe ICANN should do everything possible to sustain it, and also to make it very encouraging to engage younger ones, or not necessarily younger ones, any other journalists that should have interest to come on board, because that's another way of encouraging them. If you have a journalist coming, especially from developing countries, don't expect that all of them will own laptops. I've been in the industry where people who are covering technology don't own laptops. They still depend on PCs in their offices. They still depend on internet in their offices. So if you are going to develop this strategy further, it would be good to also find a way of expanding the press room, because people will come and they may not have access to individual laptops, so they will not depend on systems that are on ground to develop their stories and send it home. Some of us have suffered that in the past. In fact, you do stories and send it home, for them to use it, you need to come back from the trip and explain what it means for an editor to approve the story. Okay? So, but over the years, because they have started to see some changes in our lives and the way we carry ourselves and the way we do the job, and discover that, look, they are sensing what these people are writing about, and also realizing that we must always come down to the level of ordinary Nigerians or ordinary Africans. We don't allow the ambiguity that we see in conferences, constituencies, semantics to overwhelm us. Because if we were able to bring it down to ordinary people understanding, that's only when they can pick more interest in what you are writing about. Most of the awards, most of us have won, is because we'll be able to demystify technology to the understanding of our own people and help them to gain more interest in what technology is all about. Thank you.
Rebecca, go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to add to what Brenda was saying regarding the difference between other sectors and ICT itself. I think within the ICANN's different groups, they've sort of resigned to fate that either journalists don't want to cover them or journalists don't understand some of these topics and therefore will never write accurate stories. So they don't take an extra step to try and reach out to a journalist. The third thing is that I think some of them do not even have much of the communication training on how to engage, especially the Africans. Those are the ones I've engaged with. And at times you may even be having a random conversation with somebody on the corridors and say, yeah, how are you doing? And then they tell you something that you think makes news. Then you ask, so why exactly didn't you even tell me about it? And say, I didn't know that makes news. But, or maybe they thought and they said, oh yeah, you should have come to find it. But how would I know if you don't go out of your way to share this kind of information? So you find that there are two kinds of people. You find that within ICANN, they're the more developed and more savvy kind of groups that come within ICANN. And therefore, when they know they have something new or something, an issue within their specific constituency that they think that journalists should be writing about, then they'll go out and maybe reach out to the journalists they're dealing with or ask around, how can I get to this particular journalist? Then you find that probably the others, the more African ones, who probably will not even appreciate that fact and therefore will not come out and give you the tip. And that's not what you find in other sectors. You find like science, writing general science it's not well reported. I'm sure globally is also, scientists will complain that their sector is not well covered. In such cases, when you go and meet with a doctor or a scientist and you tell them that you want to write something in that sector, they will probably sit down with you and take time to explain this is the reason why it's important and this is the reason why probably the public should know and all that. And they'll probably not take offense when you ask elementary questions and all that. So maybe people have just resigned to faith that either we don't know or maybe the others who know how to get into the media itself.
One thing I'm curious about, Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
So we're Wednesday, we're 3 days into the ICANN meeting. Based on this meeting that occurred so far, what is there a big story for your respective readerships that has come out of this meeting? I mean, what is the biggest story, or is there one?
All right. The big story so far for me is the strategic presidential strategic committee, which is very interesting because
these are the committees that Fadi announced in the welcoming ceremony.
Yes, it's very interesting because one, it shows that ICANN is opening up, and they are interested to listen. And secondly, an African is on top of it. So that also gives credence that Africans can also climb to the highest mountain any other person may dream of. In bringing it down to our own self, if you look at it from a novice angle, it gives you hope that whatever you are looking for or you desire, you can always get it. But you have to be patient about it. If you look at the history of the people they brought in there, or they co-opted into the strategy, they didn't just start today. They were patient. and they follow the system and then try also to learn, to advance themselves. Learning or knowledge is a continuum thing. Thank you.
Brenda, let me ask you a question. ICANN meetings, we sort of take for granted, for example, that people, if they're not here, they're going to be able to access remote participation, access remotely this session, for example. Brenda, you talked about Kevin Murphy, which I'm sure most people know from domaininsight.com. Kev did not come here because of the expense and logistics scheduling, one thing and another. But he is following it remotely. Does that work for you guys? If you're unable to attend an ICANN meeting, did you, for example, cover the Beijing meeting or not care? I mean, were you covering it remotely or no interest?
Okay, I do follow remotely when I'm unable to attend ICANN meetings. But the truth is that it's not every other journalist that knows about the processes. In fact, I think it was in San Francisco or some other meetings before then. I have to raise it in one of the non-commercial users group that happens to develop interest in, that each time they meet, some of us are aware of the meetings and may like to either ask questions or even listen to what experts are discussing. But there is no direct link to us down in Africa. So I raised it. It was a very serious discussion, and afterwards they recognized that fact. So every time there is need for a remote meeting, I have heard remote discussion participated in panels. So I've started to realize, and I realize, and I'm taking advantage of that. But I'm not sure how others are aware of that, because it's only what you know that you can take advantage of.
Yeah. For instance, I came in yesterday. From Monday, I tried to access, but I couldn't. The internet was very, very slow. But then maybe my advice to ICANN is that maybe you would want to come up with a directory of sources. You know, like, for instance, if somebody is speaking, even if you want to access remotely, how do you contact that person in terms of,
like, an online bio sort of
yes.
thing, is that what you mean?
Yeah, with like addresses, emails where the person can be reached, so that you can send an email or a questionnaire, a press query, yeah, for you to ask the relevant questions that one wants, because sometimes access is like up and down.
Sure, and I might add, for the record, if we in communications can ever assist you, that's precisely what we do. Is journalists will oftentimes hear somebody in a session and want us to bird dog them so that they can get a telephone interview with them. Michelle, you had another question? Oh, no. She was just illuminating her light. Well, you know, one thing I'm curious about, it's said in the world of journalism that there's no such thing, because of the internet, as local journalism anymore. In other words, everything you do can be seen everywhere in the world. Is that a factor? Is that something that you're conscious of when you're doing your pieces, when you're reporting and writing your pieces?
I think that for ICTs, sometimes new journalists don't know who to interview. They don't even know where to start from. So that would help brand ICANN. Yeah. And then also, if, for instance, there's a journalist who wants to know more about ICTs, we could have some peer-to-peer mentoring sessions. If the journalist is in Zambia, for instance, that journalist can be paired to me or any other one who is specialized in ICTs. Because in this field, I think sometimes you need a mentor. For us, we had classes. We didn't have anyone to look to. Yeah. So I think mentoring sessions are important for journalists who want to report on this specialized field. Yeah.
One thing that you've all kind of touched on that I think is interesting is you've all talked about both having mentors, having people who have covered, other journalists who have covered the internet governance world or ICANN, and either reaching out to them or having journalists who have not covered the arena reach out to you. When I was a journalist, reporters would never think of contacting a competitor to get the information because the response would be, what the hell, are you out of your mind? I'm not going to help you. You're my competition. I'm not going to help you. And yet you've all sort of said you're very willing to do that. I'm interested in that difference.
I think what helped with us is that we created blogs, and the blogs did the branding for us. So people, when they read the blogs, they think, ah, these are the specialists. They want to ask you questions about statistics and all that, because previously there was no content on ICTs in Africa. So we were the content creators. As journalists, we've created this content for in Africa, and sometimes the content lacks other things. You know, some people will ask you about statistics and all that when you don't really have. So sometimes you would help to just give them maybe an email address to ask an appropriate organization or person on whatever question they are asking. Because this happens on online interactions a lot. Yeah.
Becky, I wanted to ask you a question. You were talking about pitching your editor on a piece and how you have to educate the editor to make them see the news value. As you write more stories about ICANN and about the Internet and the Internet governance world, does that create desire for more stories? In other words, there's a greater understanding on the part of your respective readerships, I assume. I assume there's a greater understanding on the part of your editor. So do the stories you write lead to greater demand for more stories, or do you have to reinvent the wheel each time?
Well, the stories are, the best thing is that when you work for a specialized newswire like I do with IDGs, that at times even when you educate the editor, the education is not that much. And because ICANN globally is also written about within the IDG network, then it's probably easier for me. Like now, whenever the ICANN meeting is somewhere in Africa, then it's easier for me to pitch stories and it becomes easier. The thing is that ICANN is not the easiest of the places to cover. Like if you wanted to go to consecutive ICANN meetings, it will probably be very hard to every time get a new angle, a new story. That's where you see whenever there is probably an impending major announcement, that's where you find many journalists coming. And if there's nothing much happening within this ICANN meeting, so the journalists probably keep away and all that. So for me, it creates that interest for more stories, because then it's easier for me to pitch. And then if it's a newer angle, then they say, oh yeah, that one was written about, probably do not write about it this time. But it definitely creates that desire for more news. And previously, I used to think that most, in as much as IDG is a more specialized newswire, I thought most of the journalists there understood what ICANN does and they'll probably be reporting about it. And until the registrar accreditation agreement, the announcement that was made, I think, a year ago, and I wrote about it, and it was out of an ICANN meeting, and it created a lot of buzz within the US, not even within Africa. I was writing it because I think it's an interview I requested, and then it came up as a story, and within the registrars in the US, it created a lot of buzz and a lot of interest that the editor now came back to me and said, hey, by the way, can you do a follow-up to this, because people are asking for more information and all that. So the other question you're asking about the stories being more global, I've realized is that works for me too, and that's because my audience is mainly out there. There are people who probably want to invest in Africa tech, and they are looking more at information that would help them make some of these decisions. So you'll find that the interest keeps on, not necessarily even for ICANN stories. When I write out there, the interest from international coming local becomes even more and more.
Let's take the case, and I will get right to you, Michelle. Let's take the case, though, of the Beckstrom interview that you did. When I reached out to you and said, you know, would you like to do this interview, we didn't go to Grant Ghose, your correspondent in the U.S. Would you angle that story different than Grant would have? I mean, you're basically at that point doing a one-on-one interview with the ICANN CEO. Are you approaching that interview from the idea that your news organization is going to blast this around the globe, or are you still taking a regional perspective when you approach an interview like that?
Well, for me, when I'm looking at an angle, I look at it in different ways. I mean, I'm sorry to tell you, Rod didn't understand much of Africa and probably could care less. So there's no way I would have looked at it from an African angle. So I had to look for more of a global and more something that is more international, something that he was more comfortable with. So you see, if I need to write something and angle it something that is more for my region, I need somebody who understands and appreciates some of those, some of the things that we go through and some of the challenges that we have to face. So in that case, I looked at it from a more of a global perspective, and because I also realized that within the IDG network, I probably know much more about ICANN than so many of my other colleagues. So it means that I can take more of a global angle and it will still work for me. So it depends. If I interview somebody who understands much about Africa, then I'll probably take an African angle. If I interview somebody who probably doesn't understand much, then I take a global angle. But in cases where I have a choice of the two, I'll probably go more for the global one because it's more appealing for more people.
Okay, what I wanted to add to that is that the issue of global audience, that over time also the what I have discovered in our statistics online is that most of our readers actually are coming from Europe, okay, and these are people who access our news materials online. Okay, so we, having that in mind, don't just localize stories for localizing stories' sake. You localize it in a way that will also appeal to the global audience as well.
So you're not going to, in other words, you're writing, you want to appeal to a local audience, but you don't want to lose your international audience.
Yeah. You have to also make sure that you bridge the gap. You bridge the gap. You are not too discerning, but at the same time, you are not raising the bar too much for ordinary people within your community or within your own environment, knowing the kind of challenges we have in Africa, to understand where you are taking them to in your storyline. So we kind of try always to meet up with the balance.
Yeah. Michelle, you had a question?
I think with reference to the meeting strategy working group, one of the things that I can realize, as Brad realizes and the press realizes, that one of the barrier for entry is the financial amount that you'd have to invest to travel to other parts of the world outside of Africa when there is conferences, etc. And I firmly believe that in one way or another, ICANN could maybe sponsor people from developing countries, good journalists, because, you know, Rebecca and our other two journalists here are becoming specialists in the field, and it's really sad to lose that continuity, because the more ICANN conferences you attend, the more you know the subject, and the better source of knowledge you are in around the world for ICANN.
One thing that ICANN is doing, we have a fellowship program where we try to bring people into the community, familiarize them with the community, and we're making a concerted effort now to make sure that journalists from around the region are part of that fellowship. That was the case some years back. It's sort of fallen by the wayside. We want to renew that. This gentleman had a question, I believe.
Good afternoon. It's good to be here and to see all of the people who give us the news. And my question, I'm Gideon Rob from .Connect Africa, and probably that'll create a buzz. And most of the... I want to ask maybe is, if we think most of the reportage about the African news, I know I talk to people and I'll talk from the point of a reader. Do we think most of the journalism is about maybe the new GTLD, and that is almost the only story that is covered about maybe ICANN, and that there are no other issues that would cover Africa? And another thing is there balance in this reportage maybe about the new GTLDs and Africa? Are there facts maybe, and balance and proper asking of questions from all over and all the stakeholders so that the report comes out? Because I talk to people and they tell me most of the time the news is maybe one-sided. Thank you very much.
Okay, let me respond to you. Thank you for that question. The truth of the matter is that there's no journalist that would like to do a story that is not balanced. Okay? If you take, for instance, the new GTLD you spoke about, some of us did stories on it, and usually we make sure our stories are balanced. Myself particularly, and I'm sure that applies to my colleagues as well. But at the same time, it is important that in the preparation for your story, that you get all views covered. But unfortunately, some people will leave the story and start attacking the individuals, okay, which doesn't take us anywhere. And if you look at the contents also, if one is criticizing an organization for doing something or taking a step, you are not criticizing the organization because you hate the organization. You want something to be done the right way. The right way that you think that will benefit a larger audience, especially a given society. And when it happens, everyone will be smiling away. Okay, so that if you find a story that you think that is not balanced, thank God in the media we have the right of response. You can respond to that. You can do a response to that. And I assure you that if there is any standard media organization, will definitely carry a response. It happened to me when I was still working for IDG. There was a story that came up, and I did the story. The guy petitioned from US. And then I proved my facts. I brought my facts to the table. So, despite that his own side of the story, he was saying that we didn't get his own side of the story. I interviewed him. I still relayed it. But also, the fact remained there. It's very glaring for everybody to see who was actually at fault. So, it's important that every side of the story is covered. Okay? But at the same time, people should also realize that journalists are trying to project the industry as well. There's nobody who calls himself a journalist that won't be interested in a growing industry. All right? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very
much. I want to comment on that. I remember, is it Sophia?
Yeah,
she sent, is it a press release where she was saying this story that has been written by Rebecca, blah, 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 blah. You see, when you send a press release like that to journalists, and Rebecca is my friend, yeah, there is no way I'm going to upload such a story on the web, because the next day it will be me, you know. So when I receive a press release like that, I send it to Rebecca and ask her what is happening. So I think even, is it civil society or registry organizations, I think they need to learn about how the media operates. Because sometimes, as media, we feel that we are just being used like a rubber stamp, yeah, to destroy ourselves.
Which is something that I've heard for the better part of 40 years that I've been involved with journalists. We used to have the same war cry. Sir, you had a question.
Thank you very much. My name's Alan Levine. I'm from the Internet Society of South Africa. I've been in... I consider myself as part of the ICANN alumni. Since I'm from South Africa, I'm entitled to come and visit, even though I'm a retiree from the ICANN family. I dedicated many years of my life as a volunteer to contribute towards global policy, and I'm very happy that now ICANN is fully functional. I can focus more on the work at hand rather than thinking about and talking about the work at hand. So as a leader in civil society, I completely concur with my colleagues. And as journalists, I think that we play a very important role in balancing democracies, and in Africa, this is a huge challenge. As a civil society organization, I try and participate in governance, local or national governance, and it's often very difficult in African countries because of the power that resides with politicians. So we perform a very important role, and I relate to the journalists. It's very difficult to be able to, as a journalist or as a civil society organization, to criticize the local government, especially in Africa. That isn't very much welcomed as much as it is in more mature types of democracies. One of the things that I found in my experience in ICANN was where there are global media companies and journalists that come from global media companies, they are more empowered to be able to criticize national governments and their roles and the roles that they play in global internet governance than they are national. Of course, one could, as a national journalist, criticize or talk or write articles about other countries in the region, but that's also not really what they're being paid to do. They're being paid by a local organization, so they're not being paid to write about other countries. So it really makes it quite difficult. I think it's important for ICANN as such to breed people that understand how ICANN works. There was a Reuters report by the name of Andy Cunningham that followed the ICANN circuit in the early days, and through attending many ICANN meetings and through being a Reuters journalist, managed to cover things to a depth that isn't spoken about in the meetings. Because as we all know, with experience, it's what's not spoken about in the formal meetings and what's spoken about in the corridors that really is determined at ICANN meetings. And only with time and through international journalists that are aware, independent of ICANN. ICANN can't do it because it has to be completely neutral. But journalists that are ensuring global governance and operating at a global level are ones that can truly get to the depth and be able to train and mentor local journalists at the ICANN meeting. Sorry, it's just a comment and it's my personal opinion. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Remy, did you want to respond? We're going to have to wrap this up, so
okay.
We'll wrap this up after you respond.
Yeah, I remember. Thank you very much for that input. Well, one of the things I was able to raise with the Brad over time, and even yesterday when we had the lunch, was the issue of having a sort of network that could also help in creating more education for our colleagues who are journalists, and also encouraging them, which of course Brenda has also reiterated on. So it is encouraging also to hear from you about that. So we really appreciate that. We also thought of it, and we hope that ICANN will have a way of giving support beyond what we are seeing now, so that by next time, even if it means taking some of these people outside the continent, you can take two persons from this side of the continent, two from another side of the continent, to go and see what is happening on the other side of the continent, and how people are also reporting the technology, especially ICANN itself. Thank you.
We've got to wrap this session up. I want to thank all three of you. I think this has been... Michelle, can you engage them afterwards? Because we've got to vacate the room here. I want to thank all three of you. Remy, Brenda, Rebecca, you guys traveled here quite a ways to take part in this as well as to cover the meeting. We appreciate it. I always think it's good to hear from people who are outside looking in. I think that's always affords us a great perspective, and you guys afford us that. So, again, thank you.